welcome again to The Christ Life. We are so excited to be able every week to come and share this time together with you. And we're really excited that you are prioritizing the right things, that you are committed to a living, loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're in a series right now that is from Ephesians chapter 4. And the title of the series we introduced last week is Axios. And axios is the word in the original languages that is translated worthy. The scripture says that we walk in a manner worthy of the calling that the Lord has placed upon our lives. And so we're gonna get into that in some more detail today as we actually take on some of these issues of what the Christ life looks like as it's pictured here in Ephesians chapter 4. So let me read the scripture for you that we're going to review last week's scripture, but we're going to go right into the scripture for today. Paul writes, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope that belongs to your call." This is the reality of what God has called us into, is a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that not just brings us into unity with Him, but it brings us into a perfect unity, a growing unity with one another as well. And so this is what the axios is here in this one. This is where the equal weight is in this particular scripture. It is everyone valuing everyone for the sake of the one. Now, if you listen to that again, just one more time so you get it, because there's a lot of one in there, but there is everyone who values every other one, everyone valuing everyone because of and for the sake of and the glory of the one who has called us. Yeah. And in that, we're going to talk about a priority, we're going to talk about a process, we're going to talk about a picture that will help you with this as well today.
Because it's really an amazing thing that Paul does in all of this to help us to get everyone's attention focused where it should be, and that is on Jesus Christ. He's the reason we're doing everything. Yes. And so oftentimes when you talk about the priority, the priority that he puts here, he puts in a word, the English Standard Version calls it eager. There are not a lot of things that I am eager for outside of the things of the Lord. I'm not eager to go and make sure that my car has its oil changed. Because I just know I'm going to take it to the mechanic, and I'm going to sit in his waiting room, and then I'm going to look through the window, because what I'm more eager about is to leave than waiting for him to get the maintenance done on the car. The funny thing is, as Paul says, the one thing we're really to be eager about is keeping a place of unity, keeping a unity in the Spirit. Now, what Paul is not saying here, I think we need to kind of establish right off the bat. This unity that he's talking about is not a humanistic form of unity. That old Peanuts cartoon had Lucy walking into the living room where Linus is watching TV, and she says to him, "Give me the remote control to the TV." And he says, "No." And she says, "Well, if you don't, I'm going to give you this." And he says, "Here's the control of TV." And then he takes his hand and he looks at it and he says to his fingers, "Why can't you come together like that?" I think sometimes when we think about the body or we think about the church, people think, why can't we come together like that? And so Paul's not saying we don't come around this idea of a vision and a mission and our core values. That's not what he's saying here. That's humans really trying to get an alignment to an organization. What he's talking about is this organic reality that happens as the Spirit of Christ grows in us. And the more it grows in us, the more together we're with Him and we are with each other. There's this unifying factor, which, you know, when he talks about the seven ones, one body, one Spirit, one faith, one baptism, when he's going through this, he's really bringing us back to the central focus of this faith in Jesus Christ, and that everything flows from that. And so when you look at this unity, it's not something we create, it's something that we are given. Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit They're in perfect unity together. They're not lacking. In fact, this is perfectly expressed in Jesus's ministry as he says, I only do what I see the Father doing. But what he's doing, he only does under the power of the Holy Spirit. They're unified ultimately around this heavenly purpose. And the heavenly purpose ultimately is to bring glory and honor to the Father. And that is what we should be eager to maintain. It's not something, again, that we create. It's something that already exists, like your car. But while it already exists, it has to be taken care of. It can't be something that is ignored or neglected. That so oftentimes people in the faith, they come into this unity with God and then they just ignore everything associated with it. And so Paul says that really, if we're gonna have some equal weight here, what we really have to do is we have to value everyone. Because when we value everyone, then ultimately the Heavenly Father is glorified, which is why Jesus, he prayed and said, my prayer is that they would be one even as we are one. That's the heart of Jesus toward his body. And this body coming together, ultimately, when we say yes, we're grafted into, we've been placed in the middle of this perfect union of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so from that, all of a sudden, we begin to live and we begin to move and we begin to have this this growth where we're saying, hey, wait a minute, this purpose of unity just isn't for others to look at and go, wow, that's great, because they do. It has more to do with this heavenly alignment, this heavenly purpose that we say, what's important isn't me. What's important isn't you as much as what is important is him. And when that alignment begins to happen, then all of a sudden things begin to come together. And God is glorified in that. But he says that we're to be eager to really have this unity in the Spirit. And then he adds in there this bond of peace. This really is the process that really allows the unity, the togetherness to really be cemented together. It's really this tendon that holds everything together. And this peace, the peace that we're really, he's referring to it because he's talked about it in chapter 2, where he talks about this breaking down of the wall, that we now have this peace, this unity that ultimately comes together that allows us to be cemented one to another. What allows me to be in peace with God is that I have Jesus Christ, who is our peace. He is the cement. He is the bond. He is the ligament that holds me together in my relationship with the Heavenly Father. And as I have this peace in him, it's something that is inside of me that ultimately will begin to move through me to an outside relational reality. The reason that people are unable to live in peace and in their homes, or they're unable to live at peace when they're together with the body of Christ, is because there's not a true internal peace. When that true internal peace grows, then you're able to live and move and really have relationship with people who are around you. We live in a world that is telling everyone, you know, you've got to be at racial peace. You gotta be at peace with people who are different than you. You can't manufacture that. But when you're in Christ Jesus, you become a peacemaker because first and foremost, you've become a peace taker. Or another way of saying it, in order to be a person of peace, you must be a person at peace. And so the place of challenge in this equal weight here really does come around this peace that holds the unity together. And that's the process. That's really it's a relational process. So as I'm in my marriage, or I'm with my family, or I'm with my life group, or I'm with other people who are in the body of Christ, not even talking about people who are not followers of Jesus, my ability to really be at peace with them, regardless of they're a brand new Christian, regardless of whether they're trying to hurt me, regardless of whether they are trying to help me, really has everything to do with the peace that I have with the Heavenly Father. If I'm at peace there, then I'm able to interject. I'm able to really cement myself and connect with people who are around me, regardless of not only where they're at in their walk with Christ, but regardless of what they can do to me. That's why I think that when you really read about the disciples really ultimately giving their life for the namesake of Jesus, they're able to do that because they're at perfect peace with the Heavenly Father. And so there's nothing that this world could do physically that could take away that peace. And I think a good question for us always is are there people in your life who really show that you have a lack of peace, meaning that you're at war with them? Maybe they have a political difference than you. Maybe they just have a different background than you. Maybe they've brought great harm to you and you've yet been able to forgive them because you don't really understand the peace that is associated with the forgiveness that comes with the Heavenly Father. But when you assess that, then it causes you to take a step back and go, okay, wait a minute. I'm unable to be at unity in unity. There is no unity because I'm not ultimately at peace with the Father. When I'm at peace with the Father, then I can be at peace with others.
What a powerful picture. And you mentioned this issue of racial unity. And I understand that in our modern culture, that's kind of a go-to for everyone because it's so glaring. It's so easy to spot. You know, I mean, it has to do with our skin color and our nationality. But the reality of what you cited, that Paul cites in Ephesians 2, is racial. I mean, it is this Jew-Gentile idea. The understanding that had been their understanding is that God is a God of the Jews. The Jews are God's people. He's the God of the Jewish nation. We are his family. And so they were well willing to accept the Messiah is coming, but they were only willing to accept that Messiah is going to come to save the Jews. The fact that Jesus comes to save the Gentiles, that he would actually appoint Paul as an apostle to save the Gentiles, to focus on the Gentiles. This really put his ministry from the very earliest times in this place of unrest. We talk about the bond of peace, this ligament that holds it all together. Paul's at peace with the calling. God is certainly at peace with the calling because that's his plan to save all the nations through the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you are locked into your Judaism, when you're locked into your racial understanding of the blessing of God, and you have labeled everybody else who isn't Jewish is Gentile. Mm-hmm. Forget black, white, yellow, red, forget the color scheme. The reality is if you're not Jew, you're Gentile. And if you're Gentile, to the Jewish mind, you are outside of the covenant of God. You are condemned as someone who's an infidel, who's outside of the faith. And Paul comes along and says, he is our peace. He, the Lord Jesus, in whom is this perfect unity with the Father and the Spirit, who has come according to the will of the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit to provide this peace. He is our peace, who has made of the two one and broken down this middle wall of partition that was between us. The thing that we saw as the divider that keeps you in your place and me in my place and forever will stand has now been eradicated, has been erased, has been totally effaced and washed out by the bond of this peace that the Lord brings, where he makes of the two one new man. And this is the bond of peace. This is the way that we then promote the unity. We maintain, eagerly maintain. Love that word, by the way. That just, you know, I too am not eager about getting my oil changed in my car. I got the picture because I think I'm definitely more eager to get out of there and to go somewhere. But this haste, this speed, this sense of I really need to get after this. Get after what? Get after being united, with God. Well, God is united in himself, and he's opened the door for you to be completely united to him. Now, what's that mean? That means you need to take the thing that he's given to you, and you need to respond to it in a worthy way. That's axios. That's really the substance of this whole series of messages is he's giving us this peace. He is giving us what is in him, and he's willing to put it in us. And now he wants us to respond to this in the very same way. So be eager to properly maintain, to properly address, to properly own, if you will, and live in this unity of the Spirit because of the bond of peace, this ligament that holds us all together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a powerful, it's the priority of the kingdom. And it is a process of relationship where we live out of these kind of things. But it also can be pictured in a pretty simple graphic. And we'll put one on the screen for you. But everybody can pretty much do this. If you have hands that work like this, you can kind of make a triangle. And if you will, that's the picture that we want you to get a handle on. Because this picture has a point. And the point to the picture is that it is a relational triangle. If you could picture at the top of the triangle is the Lord himself, the God of the heavens, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this one with perfect unity, perfect peace, who is giving it to whosoever will. And from him, this line reaches down and it connects with, I'll use for the sense of the story, since I'm telling you this picture and sharing the picture with you, I'll use me as a part of it. So it connects with me and God's plan in reaching out to loving me, saving me, calling me to himself, is that I will repent from going any other direction than toward him. Yeah. So that instead of me running this way or that way, I'm going to now respond to the grace of God by the faith that he has given to me. And so I'm going to react to and respond to God with faith, believing him, receiving his peace. And that's the beautiful will of God. And he wants me to draw closer to him and ever shorten this line, if you will, to the place where I am fully aware of my union, my unity that there is in Christ. But I'm not living in this world alone. Here's God relating to me, but here's God relating over this side to Rich. And it's the same thing. God has the same plan. He has the same love. And there's the beautiful truth of the gospel. Whatever nation you are, whatever your background, your history, whatever your heritage says, whatever, you know, if you're not a blue blood or any of those other kind of things, that doesn't matter. God is loving you and caring for you and providing salvation for you and calling to you by the Holy Spirit, drawing you to himself. To this beautiful place of peace and grace and provision of his full salvation. And what does he want from you? He wants you to respond to him along that same line. Stop running everywhere else. Repent and believe. Yeah. So stop going other ways and start going on this line back to God. So here it is. God is connected to me over here. God is connected to Rich over here. But then the Lord has allowed us to form a relationship along this line. So now it isn't just God touching Rex, God touching Rich. It is God touching both of us, and our lives are intersecting with one another as well. And so now we have formed literally a relational triangle, if you will. That's the picture that we want you to understand, that every relationship that we have, especially in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is in fact a triangular relationship. It is not just how what you think of me or how well I can impress or touch your life, or if I can somehow, you're not going to believe the Lord through me and then make a connection with Christ. I may be a part of this, but it's because Christ is trying to connect with you himself that you're going to, because of my relationship with you, I hope, connect to Christ, and you are going to strengthen that relationship. That's how these relational triangles actually work. That's how, well, not triangles, that's how relationships actually work. And this is the picture that we want you to see, this relational triangle. And so the point of the unity is Christ. In a marriage counseling kind of way, we would quote from the scripture where it says, you know, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one. And then forever, the husband and wife fight about which one. You know, like who gets to rule the day? Oh, I'm a man, or I get to, or if you're the head, I'm the neck. And so I get to turn you any way I want to. The reality is that the one is Christ, the unity of the Spirit that creates this wonderful opportunity for us to live in this bond of peace is from the Lord himself. He is the point of unity. And the pathway to that unity is established in a relationship with him. But our relationship with one another helps us on that pathway. Mm. So this is the beauty. This is how we really eagerly maintain this, is I make a commitment to a brother in the faith that I am going to act and live and serve him in such a way that I am mirroring what the Lord Jesus Christ is already saying to him, because he's saying the same kind of things to me. And it may be different, and it may be in a variety of different ways. We'll talk about that next week. But here's the reality. It is the same Christ. It's the one God, the one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in us all, that is wanting to work in his life. And what do I want for him? I want him to respond to that. I want the very best relationship that he could possibly have with God. And he, being a servant of the Lord, wants the very same thing for me. And so here's what we do. Along this line, we tend to strengthen one another. Now imagine in a relationship, if something goes astray, if I get some wild hair idea and I start going off on my own and doing all of this, Rich loves me in the Lord enough to come after me and get after me in a way that says, hey, you got to stop that. And his goal is not that I agree with him. His goal is that I know more of the Lord, that I grow in the faith of the Lord, that I stop running away from and start running toward the Lord. And if I do that, imagine this, if I do that, I actually sort of grow up on this line a little closer to Christ. And now my view of Rich is totally altered by this place that I am in Christ. But Rich is growing in the Lord as well, and we're mutually doing this. So here's what happens. As we grow closer to the Lord, inevitably, just because of the power of the triangle, we go closer to one another. And here's the beauty of the unity, this unity of the Spirit and the eagerness to maintain it through the bond of peace puts us in a position where the closer we come to Christ, the closer we come to one another. Yeah. And there is the unity that I believe Paul is praying for and talking about.
Yeah. I think as I am listening to you talk and just listening to what the Spirit is saying, I think our great challenge ultimately is it comes back to the eagerness to maintain. Mm-hmm. I think the Lord is challenging all of us to really take a step and going, you know, I'm going to make this more of a priority. I'm not going to continue to do the art of procrastination and putting off the relationships that are intended to be together in that triangle so that not only I, but the other in the relationship can grow closer to the Lord. And that's our prayer for you. Our prayer is that there would be this urging of the Spirit in your heart, an eagerness to maintain the spirit of unity in all the relationships that God has providentially brought around you, so that ultimately, together, we will grow into the oneness that is Christ. Until next week, God bless.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.